Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Palshia, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to Meghmani Organics Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Sunidhi Securities. As a reminder, all participants will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Palshia. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining on Meghmani Organics Limited Q1 FY25 results conference call. I would like to thank the management for giving us this opportunity to host the call. We are joined on this call with Meghmani Organics management, represented by Mr. Ankit Patel, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. G.S. Jain, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Nishant Vyas, Investor Relations. I would like to invite Mr. Ankit Patel to initiate this proceeding with his opening remarks, post which we will have a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Rohitji. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on our Q1 FY25 earnings call. I believe you have got a chance to go through the financial results and investor presentation uploaded on the stock exchanges and the website. After a prolonged period of sluggish global demand, we are witnessing a gradual sign of demand recovery from Q1 FY25. Our both the segments, crop protection and pigment, reported healthy volume growth during the quarter, fostering positive sentiment for FY25. During the quarter under review, in our crop nutrition segment, we have successfully launched 8 new products in fertilizers, biofertilizers, biostimulant category, providing a comprehensive one-stop solution for our farmers to improve the productivity and nutrient use efficiency. In titanium dioxide segment, now we have stabilized the plant and it is running continuously. Quality of the product has been stabilized as well, and we have also received approval from few and new customers in different categories like ceramic, plastic, rubber and paint. We are also expecting interim anti-dumping duty on titanium dioxide from China, probably in the third quarter of FY25. Moving to our financial performance in Q1 FY25, company's revenue from operations remained flat at 411 crore, while our EBITDA stood at nearly 14 crore, increasing by 194% YOY and 40% on quarter-on-quarter basis. However, our profitability for the quarter was impacted by lower product price realization across the markets. We are optimistic that in the coming quarters, price improvement will be seen along with the momentum in the demand recovery, which will enhance our profitability. If I talk about the revenue mix in Q1 FY25, crop protection constitutes about 66% of the total revenue, while the balance 34% comes from pigment segment. Now, let us look at segment-wise performance in the Q1. In crop protection segment, production stood at nearly 10,000 tons, up by nearly 20% year-on-year. Capacity utilization for the segment stood at 73%. The segment reported revenue of close to 272 crores, an EBITDA of 11.3 crores against the revenue of 300 crores and EBITDA of 0.5 crores in the corresponding previous year. For pigment segment, production stood at 3,736 metric tons, up by nearly 9% year-on-year. Capacity utilization for the segment stood at about 45%. The segment reported the revenue of 138 crore and EBITDA of 9.4 crore against the revenue of 121 crore and the EBITDA of negative 8.4 crores in the corresponding previous year. To conclude, we have all the enablers to regain our normal double-digit growth trajectory, which we had demonstrated throughout all these years. Given our state-of-the-art infrastructure, plant compatibility, wider product range, and geographical reach, our long-term growth prospects remains intact. Lastly, I would like to share that one of our primary focus areas has been environment, health, safety, and security. We are proud to share that our efforts have been recognized with the Responsible Care Accreditation for Crop Protection segment for the period of 3 years. And we have also received committed badge from EcoVadis for our commitments towards sustainability. With this, I hand over the call to the moderator to open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. First question comes from Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. And Ankitbhai, in your initial, just the first sentence, you spoke about after a long, prolonged sluggishness, the demand seems to be improving from quarter one onwards. So just to understand this more in a bit more details, like what kind of improvement we are seeing, is it some product specific, is it some market specific, and what do you attribute this to, and how sustainable this improvement in the demand you expect to continue?
Sure, Rahulji. Rahulji, definitely, as we all know that the, particularly in the crop protection segment and agrochemical segment, last one and a half year was a pretty tough period where the demand was under huge pressure from various countries, not just one market. Because immediately after the COVID, there was a lot of demand from various markets and people kept a lot of inventory. So every country was sitting on huge inventory. And suddenly the interest rate started going up, because of which people decided to lower down the inventory as well as lower down their burden on the interest cost. So in last 1 year, there was very, very less demand. And now from the first quarter, we have been seeing now slowly, gradually, the demand has started picking up from different markets. So it is not just not just for one or two markets, but I would say across the markets. Now the demand is slowly picking up.
And with the upcoming, sir, monsoon in Brazil, if you could share your understanding in how would Brazil market behave, also with regards to inventory destocking. Firstly, are we done with the inventory destocking? Overall, and also specifically for Brazil market, because it is the largest market, and also monsoon should be around the corner in a month or two. So what is the kind of feedback which we are getting from the largest market?
We are getting very positive response, particularly from the Brazil market. And if we look at the inventory level for majority of the products, barring few products, the inventory level has become reasonable. And because of that, only two reasons, good rain expectation, good season expectation point of view, as well as lower inventory point of view, there is going to be good demand in the Brazil market going forward.
Sure. On pricing front, sir, in terms of the product prices, we understand those prices had plateaued a quarter back. So how are the pricing of products currently? Is there any movement on the uptick, or those continue to be flattish?
So it has been running at flattish level at the bottommost level, and I would say from the industry perspective, people predict that now once the demand will pick up, there will be definitely increase in the price as well, because at this price level it is not sustainable for any industry. So there is a very good chance that the price will increase going forward.
Sure. One last question on the industry and then one question on company specific. Sir, with regards to the China behavior, we have been hearing for last about around 2 months with regards to the reverse freight issues from China, where most of the Chinese goods are being, or the containers are diverted towards US. So prices across a lot of products in the entire chemical space have moved up. So is there a feeling that once this situation gets normalized in terms of the freight diversion, will China come back and try to again behave in a manner which could be detrimental to our industry?
Rahul, even today, the China market price is at rock bottom level. So from this level, it cannot go down. You know, maybe 1 or 2% here and there. But from this level, they cannot go down because they are also bleeding. And regarding the freight related matter, yes, it is one of the major factors where you can see in our numbers also there has been substantial increase in the logistic costs. And we hope that somewhere from the third quarter, this should normalize. So still in the second quarter, it will be a little high, but from third quarter, hopefully it will come down.
Sure. And sir, one last question. Now on our product side, within the agrochemical space. So as we mentioned, we had a very good time about 18 months back, or just post-COVID, around 18 months are very good. And we were planning to introduce a lot of new products, some of them probably being among the first few to launch those products. So going ahead, Meghmani, the focus will be, or where do you see these products in terms of which products will contribute to, you know, the improvement going forward, and what are the new products being introduced?
Rahul bhai, definitely we have got a very good strength on our existing product, which will keep on growing, will be there for sure. At the same time, we'll be giving a lot of weightage on the new product, because these products are relatively high value with little better profitability. So we would like to focus on the new products. So those products, commercially, we are all set. From the regulatory approval point of view, we have started getting approval in the different markets. Going forward, over a period of next 2 to 3 years, we'll be getting lot many approvals in different markets for these new products. And regarding the product names, what products we have launched cyflutrin, beta cyflutrin, flubendamide, pimetrozin, ethiprol. So these are the new products we have introduced, pyromethrifen. So there are many more new products.
Sure. Thanks, Ankit bhai. This is quite helpful. Wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I request the participants to restrict with 2 questions in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. Next question comes from Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, on, you know, one segment which has done well for us, you know, we have seen an improvement both on YOY and QOQ has been the pigment segment. So if you can elaborate, how is the situation there, you know, and, you know, if, like how do you see the market and our capacity utilization is still low at 45%. So, you know, how do you see this, our capacity utilization panning out for the next few quarters, and how do you see our performance in the pigment segment for the rest of the year?
So, Ankitji, as I already mentioned, now the demand has started improving in both the segments. Particularly in the case of agrochemical segment, we are already running our plant in the quarter one at about 70% plus capacity. We'll try to maintain 75% plus capacity utilization probably in the second, third quarter onwards also. So we see the demand is going to be there as well as the plant utilization will be better going forward. In the case of pigment segment, yes, the plant utilization is in the range of about 45%. There will be a little bit increase in the plant utilization, but not drastically. And we would like to maintain more or less in the same plant utilization level to have a better price realization. The moment we try to go more aggressive, we try to produce more, in that case, it is always a problem, then there is a lot of pricing pressure. But now we would like to focus more on profitability and better price realization.
On the crop rotation side, you know, as you were saying, the prices are still pretty low for us. So, you know, if you can elaborate, you know, in Q1 FY25, how much has been the price decline compared to last year? Any ballpark figure if you can give us, you know, for some of our key molecules, how much has been the average decline in prices in Q1 FY25 compared to, let's say, last year?
So in the Q1, the price reduction, particularly in the case of agrochemical, was drastically compared to the first quarter of last financial year. I would say it is in the range of about 25%.
Okay. And on a QOQ basis, have we seen some improvement, let's say, compared to Q4 of last year?
Yes, so we see now onwards, quarter on quarter, there will be improvement taking place. So both volume as well as value should start on increasing from quarter on quarter.
Sure. Okay. Thank you, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question comes from Jainam Ghulani from Savan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for this opportunity. So I just have one question. So overall, the pigments industry is doing quite well. So what is the reason for our underperformance? Because many global players have shut their companies. So what is the reason that we've not been able to catch up the demand?
Aniket, the thing is, particularly in the pigment segment, we are particularly in copper thalocyanine based pigment, where still there is a lot of pressure in terms of supply point of view. The price realization and the demand improvement is taking place is more into azo pigment. So the currently what Dubai related matter globally, what we have seen, that is helping first in the azo pigment segment. But we are optimistic that going forward it will come to the copper thalocyanine based pigment also. At the same time, in the first quarter particularly, there has been volatility into raw material prices as well. Certain raw materials were very volatile and the price increased. So normally we have a contract for 2 months, 3 months, where we cannot go back on the pricing from the long-term sustainability point of view. So we see from the second and third quarter onward, there will be some improvement taking place in better realization.
So we expect recovery in realizations as well as volumes or only realizations?
We are currently targeting mainly realization rather than volume because now the profitability is more important.
That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Aniket Kulkarni from BMS Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening and thanks for the opportunity. So on slide 7 of your latest presentation, you have mentioned total capex of 1140 crores spread over 3 projects. So can you tell me how much revenue all of these can generate at full utilizations?
I'm sorry, can you repeat your question?
Yeah, I repeat. So on the slide 7 of your latest presentation, you have mentioned a total capex of 11,140 crores spread over 3 projects. So can you tell me how much revenue all of these projects can generate if they operate at full capacity?
So particularly if we divide the segment, in the crop protection segment, we have done an investment of close to 400 crore, which has got, there are chances of creating 800 crore plus revenue from the capex. In the crop nutrition segment, where we are spending, we have spent about 150 crore. So it's a 5 crore bottle capacity plant where we can generate revenue on the full capacity utilization basis, 1000 crore revenue we can generate. But it will take more time because it's a relatively new concept product. In the titanium dioxide segment, where we have invested close to 600 crore, our current first phase capacity is 16,500 tons. So it can generate revenue of close to 275 to 300 crore.
Yeah, on the titanium dioxide facility, so you have mentioned the phase one has been commissioned. So does the 600 crore include only phase one, or is it the full amount for phase one and phase two as well? And if is it only for phase one, then what will be the amount for phase two?
Aniket ji, we have partly, because in the chemical plant we cannot do 100% phase one and phase two separation. So certain things we need to combine it. So like captive power plant, we have put up looking at the phase two expansion. So we don't need to spend in future for the captive power plant. Likewise, in the current plant manufacturing capacity, certain plant equipments and the layout we have kept from the future phase two expansion base kept in mind only. So phase two will not require huge investment. So our team is working on the phase two. So at the appropriate time when we'll decide to go ahead for the phase two, we'll be announcing the kind of the capex required.
Okay, so this 600 crores, we can say, includes phase one and some parts of phase two, correct?
Absolutely correct.
Okay. And post the phase two completion, do you have any further capex plans after that?
So I would say for the next one and a half years' time, we would like to first sweat our current asset base, whatever we have created. So in all the segments, we'll try to utilize the plant in a better way, and we'll try to generate better revenue and profitability, and then only we'll be going for the second phase.
Okay. And finally, your debt has gone up from close to 300 crores in FY20 to about 850 crores in FY24. So if you can highlight, what are your debt reduction plans from here on?
So from the debt reduction plan point of view, in this financial year, we'll be repaying about close to 173 crore of loan repayment will take place. So which will bring us to quite reasonable level. Similarly, in the next financial year also, it will be close to same amount repayment will be there. So our target is to bring down the debt level substantial low in next 2 years' time.
Okay. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Pradeep Rawat from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening and thank you for the opportunity. So my question is regarding our rate of interest on our debt. So what would be the rate of interest?
Currently, it's in the range of 5 to 6%.
And would it be increased in later years?
No, because it's the peak debt actually. Rates are peak at this moment. So we can, after September, once the rate starts reducing, so we can expect effective rate should be down.
At the same time, the debt will also go down.
Okay, so what would be the interest cost guidance for this year?
In absolute number, if you see on quarterly basis, it is 9 crore which is coming per quarter.
Okay. Thank you. All the best, and that's all from my side.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Janaksha from Wealth Financial Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Wanted, I had a couple of questions. first was on the return to profitability. I assume that after 5 quarters of losses, can we assume that like in Q2, the company may return to profits? Secondly, the question was about the nano urea and titanium dioxide. What is the assumption regarding the capacity utilization for the year 24-25 in general for both these new products? And any further demerger on cards for Make Money Organics? Thank you so much.
First answering your first question was regarding the profitability-wise. Yes, so yes, I'm sorry, for the continuously 4 to 5 quarters we were in loss. From the 2nd quarter onwards, there are very good chance we'll be in profitability, and we are committed for the same for the growth point of view as well as profitability point of view. Regarding the capacity utilization of both the plants, nano urea and titanium dioxide. So the titanium dioxide in the from the second half of the year in the FY25, we predict that the plant will run at about 70% capacity. In the nano urea plant, because it's a relatively new concept, it's a huge capacity, so it's not going to run at very high capacity. Initially, we predict that in the first year, we'll be running at about 35 to 40% capacity.
And for the demerger, anything on the card?
No, nothing on the card from the demerger point of view, because we would like to first make sure that all the segments, particularly titanium dioxide and nano urea segment, we would like to generate good revenue, good profitability. So not in the near future, for sure.
Thank you so much, Ankit Bhai.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Neharika J from A Equitas. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. So my question is on nano urea. How has been the product acceptability this year with the farmers considering good monsoon forecast?
So Niharika ji, it's a new concept, no doubt about it. But we have been doing a lot of promotional activity and field trials where we give the field trials to the farmers down the line and convince them the effectiveness of the product. It is very effective product, no doubt about it. And looking at that only, now a lot of companies, even in the private segment like Coromandel and all, they are also looking at this segment. So I would say over a period of next 2 years, there will be substantial movement in the nano urea segment, where the farmers will be shifting slowly, gradually in the better technology product.
Do we get any support from the government to kind of, market the product or anything? Because even there is a lot of push from the government side.
So it is a non-subsidized product. So directly we don't get any support from the government. But indirectly, yes, we do get support from the government, like every state, because it is under the vision of our Prime Minister, Mr. Narendra Modi. He himself is promoting this product. So every state is coming with a different scheme where they would like to promote this product in a better way. Also, there is one Yojana called PM Pranam Yojana. Under PM Pranam Yojana, any state, wherever they are utilizing nano-based technology fertilizer, and which turns up into savings of subsidy amount for the central government, 50% of the savings for the subsidy amount will be passed on to the state. So let's say if I give you the example of Gujarat as a state, so there is a subsidy which goes to the Gujarat as a state about 22,000 crore. So as a state, if they promote nano urea in a better way, where the subsidy load on the central government goes down by, let's say, 4,000 crore, in that case, 2,000 crore central government will give it to the Gujarat government. And the Gujarat government can utilize this 2,000 crore in any form wherever they want to utilize it. So in a way, it is a straight income for every state, and central government gets also benefited by reduction in the subsidy load. So every state is now going to promote this nano-based fertilizer.
Okay, understood. And my next question is on this titanium dioxide. So have we sent some samples or like product tests, product for testing to any customers? And how has the acceptability of our product been as of now?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, the product quality has been stabilized fairly good. So far, our product has been accepted in different industries like ceramic, plastics, paint, rubber. So different industry has got different applications. So we have been promoting our product in different segments, and we have been getting approval in different markets.
What is the capacity utilization in quarter one for the titanium dioxide? I think you said that capacity will increase to 70% from second half, but what was it in the current quarter, like the quarter gone by?
So it is running at about 35% capacity. From second half of this financial year, we'll reach at about 70% capacity utilization.
And the break-even will be achieved at what capacity for the segment?
So once we reach at 70%, then we reach nearly break-even point.
Okay, understood.
At the same time, there has been initiation by the industry for the anti-dumping. Material coming from China, there has been proposal for anti-dumping. There are very good chance that the interim anti-dumping duty may come in the third quarter.
Okay. That was it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Madhu Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I'm trying to understand, in our titanium dioxide, in the phase one, we'll, at the full capacity utilization, we'll make a revenue of 275 to 300 crores, and I expect the similar revenue for the next phase. But, sir, at 70% break-even, so I'm trying to understand, like, we'll do an investment of around more than 600 crores. On that, we'll get a revenue of 600 crores, and at 70% break even, after that, what kind of margins can we expect from the same, sir?
So, Madhurji, at about 300 crore revenue, along with the anti-dumping duty, which is going to come probably on the third quarter, we expect that there will be reasonable margin. It is little early to mention at this juncture, but we predict that we should be having about 20% margin.
Okay. And, sir, this 300 crore revenue would be at 100% utilization, right?
You can say that, yes.
Okay. Sir, my next question would be, sir, we had guided that in nano urea, margins would be in the 15 to 17% range. So, sir, two questions regarding this. Sir, at 30 to 40% utilization that we are thinking for the next 1 year, what kind of margin profile can we expect? And is the plant like developed in such a way that even at 30 to 40% utilization, we can achieve a good amount of margin?
So, yes, nano urea is one product where we are going to generate about 15 to 17% margin. And because when we go into the market, we cannot go with just one product. We need to have a basket of products. So to support the nano urea, we have introduced about 8 new products in the same segment, so which will help this segment to grow in a better way. So we are, because it's a relatively less investment-oriented project and more capacity, going forward will generate reasonable good profit.
Okay. And sir, what is the minimum IRR or ROC that you expect before embarking on any new capex or investment?
Madhuji, in current time the dynamics has changed completely because the projects we started about 3 years back, at that time the prices, profitability criteria were totally different. The profitability scenario which we are seeing today is very, very difficult. So the numbers which I am sharing right now with you is based on the current prices and current numbers. So let's say if the market going forward, it improves in pricing and other things, then definitely the scenario is totally different. But just to answer your question, whenever we select the project, normally we consider the IRR of about 18% to 20%.
Okay, sir, that was very helpful. And sir, just final, sir, just 300 crore revenue for the titanium oxide. This is on the current depressed prices. And suppose if the anti-dumping duty and the pricing improve, you can expect positive tailwinds for this segment revenue. Is this understanding correct?
Can you repeat your question? Your voice was not very clear.
Yes, sir. I'll repeat my question. Sir, this 300 crore revenue for the titanium dioxide segment, sir, this is on the current depressed pricing without any anti-dumping duty and whatever pricing improve. Yes. Okay. Sir, that was very helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Next question comes from Preet Nagasheth from Wealth Finvisor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. The question I had, sir, was regarding what kind of blended revenue and EBITDA margin should we expect for this and the next financial year?
I think, Preetji, it is little early to mention the kind of the profitability margin for this financial year. I can only share that we expect the thing going forward from second quarter onwards, we see the improvement taking place. And in the next financial year, we are targeting about 15% of EBITDA margin on an average.
And what kind of revenue should we kind of pencil in or model into our estimates, sir, for next year?
So in the past, as you know, we were growing in double digit. So similarly, this year also, because the last year was a bottom year, we expect 20% top line growth in this financial year as well as next financial year.
Got you. Wonderful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Aniket Kulkarni from BMS Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. So just on that revenue question, so you have given the potential revenue coming in from the incremental capex, but can you give an estimate of the overall revenue from all of your assets at, you know, full capacity and let's say average realizations? Can you give a number if possible?
So Aniketji, that is what I mentioned. I think last year was the year where we generated the bottommost revenue. So this year we expect about 20% plus growth in top line. And similarly, based on this year's number, again we are expecting 20% growth in top line in the next financial year.
And let's say if pricing improves, then this can be even more, or is it assuming that the prices will improve?
So this number, yes, definitely we would like to be a little conservative. If scenario improves, then it can be a little better also.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Nishant Doshi, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir. I repeat, question comes from Nishant Doshi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, as I can see from your presentation, the competitors in titanium dioxide, they have their facilities in Kerala and Tamil Nadu. Is there any specific reason? I mean, is the raw material available in that particular geography? If yes, then how it can impact our profitability?
So, Nishanji, yes, one of the raw material which is ilmenite, it is available in that state, Kerala, no doubt about it. But we are getting the raw material either imported or local, no issues. At the same time, when we talk of the finished product, the major market is in the western part, so we are able to sell in this market. So if we are paying a little more on raw material logistic, then ultimately we don't need to pay for the finished goods logistic. So it's balancing it out. And so there is in a way advantage of, because other raw materials, other infrastructure is much better in Gujarat compared to Kerala.
Okay, sir. Sir, one follow-up question. Do company foresee to face any competition in nano urea from IFCO?
I'm sorry, can you repeat your question?
Do company foresee to face any competition in nano urea from IFCO?
No. IFCO is a much better, bigger organization. They have their own channel. So I would say it's a collectively IFCO and Make Money, because the market potential is tremendous. Indian market size for the particularly urea is 34 million tons. So it cannot be replaced 100% with the nano urea, but yes, it can be replaced substantially with nano urea. And going forward, there is a huge scope. So we don't see any competition from IFCO.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Mehul Dewar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, but my question is based on a nano area section only. I mean, partially it's already answered, but I just want to know that what is actually the benefit for the farmers to go for a nano area, other than, because there is a technicality as well that they have to probably use some of the tools to even use this nano area, not like just spreading the physical urea. So is there anything benefit for farmers, because as it's not subsidized, so...
So, Mehul bhai, because in India there is a subsidy for the urea, and there is not much price gap between urea and nano urea, that is one of the factors where farmers are not immediately shifting to nano urea. Provided if the realistic without subsidy, if the urea price is to be considered, then the bag would cost nearly 2,000 rupees. So against 2,000 rupees, this bottle will cost 225 rupees. Then the farmer shift would have taken place very fast. But in this case, it is not like that. But if we look at the benefit to the farmer, yes, he needs to spray this product. It's a foliar application. But it is very much compatible along with the other products, like agrochemicals. So it is very much compatible. So farmer can spray the product, nano urea, along with the other products by mixing it in one tank. So in a way, it is more helpful to the farmer. So it is not creating any major hurdle for the farmer. And there are very good chances that, because government is very firm that they would like to reduce the burden of subsidy, which is more than 2 lakh crore taxpayers' money. The government is taking all the initiatives to reduce this burden. So I think going forward, they would like to restrict the imported urea and promote more of a nano-based fertilizer, which is nano urea.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions. Now, I hand over the floor to management for closing comments.
On behalf of the management, we thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your trust and support on us. With this, we hope that we have been able to address most of your queries. In case of further queries, you may reach to Mr. G.S. Chahal or Mr. Nishant Vyas, and they will connect with you offline. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Door Sabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a good day.